Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Praise God. As we come today, we certainly give God the praise and the glory. As you come today, just bow your heads wherever you are today as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest gift that was ever given, that is Jesus the Christ. And we thank you for how you did it, how you sent him, and how he grew, and how he healed, how he taught, how he preached, how he made it possible for us to have eternal life. As we come today, it is our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. There's a word today that comes from the book of Isaiah, 9th chapter, verse number 6. It reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want to preach today from the sermonic title on this Advent Sunday, What's in a Name? What's in a name? A little more than 60 years ago, my parents had a big decision to make. Their fourth and final child was to be born. At the time, they did not know if it was a boy, a girl. I'm not sure sonograms were around then. There was no gender reveal party. But once they realized that this 9-pound boy had come, they named him Timothy Lamar Tuden. Yeah, that's me. You knew that by now. Named after my late uncle, Timothy Lamar McKeever. I never met him, but I heard stories about his love for his sister, his love for his family, his service in the U.S. Navy. But thank God I was able to pass that name along to my son. I'm sure there's a name and a story that you could share with me about how you got your name. What came with it? How many folks just love their name? I hope you do. Y'all didn't sound too good about that. Do you like your name? I love my name. I'm not talking about what they call you in the neighborhood, but your government name. In our text this morning, some of y'all calling your name that already? It is the Old Testament prophet Isaiah who sheds light on the names and subsequent the titles of Jesus. Our promise for salvation. And he wrote this some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, you want a long-range forecast. That's a long-range forecast as the prophet was able to share that name. 700 years before Joseph popped the question to Mary. 700 years before Gabriel showed up in Nazareth, Isaiah was talking about the one who was to come. And the names that he mentioned speak to the personality of Christ, speaks to the profession of Christ, speaks to his power, his permanence, and his preeminence. Personality, that his name shall be called Wonderful. Let's just take that piece. Wonderful. It talks about his personality, his identity, his makeup, his character. Jesus is described as wonderful. Just say that today. Wonderful. Wonderful. That name is a name that is excellent, a name that is great, a name that is marvelous. And Isaiah wrote to give the people hope when he said, don't worry, hold on. God is going to send one. And let me just give you a snapshot of what to expect. This soon coming king will be wonderful. And that means really incomprehensible. That we can say in life, it's wonderful. We call things that we like wonderful. When things are going our way, we say, oh, things are wonderful. They're great. They're pleasant. They're lovely. Have you used those words before? Yeah. And really meant them? How you doing today? Okay. How you feeling today? I'm wonderful. Yeah. I'm blessed. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Either folk will respond to you or they'll look at you and say, what? And he is described as one who is wonderful. It is his personality. Psalm 40 and 5 says, many, Lord my God, are the wonders, it is again, of the work that you've done and the things you've planned for us. None can compare to you. His name is wonderful because he does what? He does wonderful things. Yes. Amen? Amen? And so Isaiah writes this. But what about our own personality? What about when we meet people? What do we leave with them? Do they say, you know what? I met a wonderful person today at church. A wonderful person today at the mall. A wonderful person today somewhere along my journey. We ought to carry the name of Christ with us, that somebody who meets us ought to have a wonderful experience. Ought to be our personality. You know, we in TV, we're called personalities. I'm not quite sure why. But, you know, I've been called a personality. But I've got a personality, and it's connected to Jesus Christ himself. And then it speaks to his profession, counselor. Isaiah says, counselor, you know, a profession is what we do. A profession is what we ask people, what do you do for a living? You ever done that? Now, in college, you said, what's your major? Once you got grown, what do you do? Do you have a job? What do you do? What is your profession? What do you get paid to do? What's your craft? What's your career? What do you do to bring home the bacon? Come on, brothers. I need about two amens. I mean, you do bring home the bacon, don't you? Amen. Mama bring it home too, but daddy brings home the bacon. What do you do that generates an income that helps you to provide for your family? Well, Christ does not need a profession. Why? He's everything that we need. But we see him as the counselor, as one who is qualified to help us, one who's always available, one who can counsel us. There are no limits. And check this out. Jesus is not any ordinary counselor. He's a wise counselor. And he'll do pro bono work. Amen? Won't charge you. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Colossians 2 and 3 reminds us that it is in Jesus that we find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are all hidden within him. Ever had a problem that you could not solve, that your friends could not advise you upon, that your blog could not be responded to, and you realize, I need to go to the counselor. Let me ask you a question. Has he ever had to counsel you to lead you in the right direction? You had your own mind made up what you were going to do, but you sought some counsel in the person of Jesus Christ. What's in a name? Isaiah says, that's the profession. That's what he does. But would you agree he does so much more than just that? Those songs said there are so many wonderful things about Jesus. We can't put him in a box. But aren't you glad that when you have a need, that he comes along? Well, you know, let me just break it on down. Has he been a healer for you? Has he been a deliverer for you? Has he been a company keeper for you? Has he been a fence around you? Has he been a battle axe in the time of battle? Has he been a lawyer in a courtroom? A doctor in a sick? I'm just going down the list. And whatever you need within his character, he will provide. His profession. His personality. And then his power. He will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. You ought to say it right. Mighty God. In the Hebrew, the title God Almighty is El Shaddai. It means God, the all-powerful one. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be associated with somebody who has all power. Amen? That not some power, but all power, all the time. He has the ultimate power, and there's no limit on what God can do. If a storm comes along in life, and some can testify, you ever lost power? Oh, some of y'all lost power. Got mad at the BGE, didn't you? Got mad at the power company. My lights are not on yet, but thank God we serve a God who has all power. There's never an outage when it comes to serving the God that we serve. In fact, he's sovereign. He'll do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. Would you agree with that today? Aren't you glad you serve a sovereign God? A God who's come into your life and has taken control and shown he is powerful. Mankind has got it all wrong. They think power is in Washington, D.C. on a hill. Amen. No matter what your affiliation is, the real power is in God. It's not about a vote. God has already done it. Aren't you glad you serve a God who's a God of power? He is described as a mighty God. I'm glad I serve a mighty God. I'm glad I serve a God who will come by and see me. A God who made it possible for you to come to the house this morning. Jesus is also into power sharing. Look at that. He does not mind sharing his power. Let us get some power, man. We don't want to share any kind of worldly power or position. We think we somebody. Amen. But God, by way of Christ, shares his power. Isaiah says he giveth power to who? The faint. And to them who have no might, he will increase strength. I don't know about you. I just feel stronger knowing that I serve a powerful God. I feel mighty knowing that my Heavenly Father is mighty in battle. Mighty speaks to his power. Counselor to his profession. Wonderful to his personality. But what about permanence? He is the everlasting Father. That means he is forever. That means he's never out of style. That means he's always available. He will last forever. John 3:16 tells us that what? He that believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know if you've thought about that. Every time you get an ache or two, make a doctor appointment of three, you realize that this old building is leaking. But one day, you will have everlasting life. That means that you will live forever. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody's lining up to say, Lord, take me next. But thank God, you know that when this life is over, there is life everlasting. And that's why he's called the Everlasting Father. But for that to happen, we've got to accept him as our personal Savior. I mean, God bless the Energizer Bunny. I mean, at some point, he's going to go down. But the God that we serve always is providing for us, and we can call him our everlasting Father. When patience run out, he's everlasting. When resources run out, he's everlasting. He is the one that we need. You know, some things just wear out in life. And we wear out. But to know that when this stage of life, this earthly journey has come to an end, thank God for Jesus. That he has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, that we'll be also. You don't sound too excited about that. I'm not trying to do your eulogy. All I'm saying is, aren't you glad you serve an everlasting Father? That there's life everlasting. I believe what the Bible said. His permanence. I often listen to people in media, in public relations, said, we're sorry the salad was bad. This will never happen again. I'm sorry that your car is not working right. It's our guarantee. It will never happen again. God bless them. It will happen again. But thank God for Jesus that you have life everlasting. His profession, his personality, his preeminence. He is the Prince of Peace. When we say preeminence, we mean his superiority, his value, his worth, his status. Now, we all watched and made a big fuss about the royal wedding and the prince. I caught a little bit of it. But there's no prince like the prince. The Prince of Peace. Now, some of y'all was thinking Prince Purple Rain. But I mean the one who is the Prince of Peace. He promises that that one will come. He will be preeminent. And peace means shalom in Hebrew. It's associated with being calm. Tranquility, that when you are about to lose it, you pray for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And won't he give you peace? In the midst of confusion, he'll give you peace. In the midst of stress, he'll get, I don't know, but I'm glad that I've got a Prince of Peace. We need a Prince of Peace. With all that's happening in our society, we need someone who can bring peace and leave it for us to take advantage of. John 14, 27, Jesus said to his disciples, this peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth. The world will tell you to chill out. But there's some peace that comes from him. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Are you not got there yet? I mean, I'm going to have peace with it. Yeah, I was mad, but now I got peace with it. I was disappointed, but now I've got peace. Why? I know the Prince of Peace. The Bible mentions just some of the names. He's my advocate and my Almighty, my Alpha and my Omega, my author and finisher of my faith. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of my soul. He's the chief shepherd. He is the cornerstone. He's the door and the last great high priest. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the just one. He's the King of Kings and the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer, the resurrection and the life, the rock, the rose of Sharon. He's the Son of God. In other words, there's a name for whatever you need today. There is a name. I love to sing. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. because he first loved me. He loved me in my mother's womb. He first loved me. He loved me before I ever said ma, ma, or dad, dad. He loved me before I took my first step. He loved me in any situation. Aren't you glad you serve a God who loves you in spite of you? There's something about that name. Love what Andre Crouch says. He says, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that he sacrificed his life. Oh, I'm glad he did. Are you glad today that Jesus came to save your soul? Are you glad today that he continues to watch over you? Are you glad today that he'll be with you through thick and thin? Are you glad today that he will come and bless you in spite of yourself? Maybe you don't like glad. Anybody delighted today that God has kept you? Anybody happy today that God is making a way for you? Anybody jumping for joy today just because the joy of the Lord is your strength? There's something about the name. Oh, y'all love to drop names. If you're going to drop a name, drop the name of Jesus. If you're going to drop a name, say, you know what? I know somebody who knows somebody who can heal. I know somebody who knows somebody who gives sight to the blind. I know somebody who knows somebody who can part the Red Sea. I know somebody who knows somebody that can bring sight to the... Anybody know somebody today? There's something about the name of Jesus. Take the name with you. His name shall be called. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That is the word of God today. It's all. Come on, stand today all over this place. When you think about the name, Isaiah said, now this is just a few of them. There are more. And whatever you need, he becomes that today. Has he become that for you today? A company keeper, a healer, a counselor, a mighty God. What is he to you today? How would you describe him today? Just come. And we come by with the best offer of the season. Come on, say it together. We offer. We offer. Oh, my brother. We offer Christ. Oh, my sister. He will give. Won't he do it? Life abundantly. Come on to Christ. Come on, let's say it one more time. We offer Christ to you. We offer. Oh, my brother, offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister, he will give you life abundant. Come on. I just stopped by today to offer Christ to you. Reverend, I already know him. Well, I don't want to take a chance. For those of us who stand to proclaim the gospel, we don't know all your business. You think we do. There's no crystal ball. But I know this. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same again. I'm just so glad that somebody led me to Jesus. So glad that when I didn't want to go to church, I had to go. And when I got big and bad, some of y'all got big and bad, got on your own, you were 21 plus, had your own bills, your own ride, your own drink. But in life, there'll come a moment when you will need Jesus in your life. And you'll begin to test and say, is this Jesus real I've been hearing about? Because when you run into a situation, you can see then the power of God. You can see his personality and his power and his preeminence and his permanence as you bow today. Father, for that one that may not know you, for the one who has never confessed you as Lord, this is a fresh word that they might open their hearts today. Now, we can't make them. You won't force them. It's free will. But may they hear your voice today and say, you know what? I yield. What must I do to be saved from the penalty of sin? Lord, do it today for that heart that may be yearning for you. May that person simply confess you as Christ and say, Lord, I believe that you came, that God sent you, that he died, and that he rose again. The Bible says if you believe that with your heart, confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. If you're here today, open your heart to Jesus today. Open your heart today to Jesus. Praise God. Maybe you've come today, you desire to be a part of this fellowship. Doors are always open. We love you. We'll keep you. We'll encourage you in the Lord.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.